constitutional attorney, pro-family leader, and the author of more than 20 books, including No Higher Power, Obama's War on Religious Freedom. And now, here's the president of Eagle Forum, Phyllis Schlafly.
China has sold Americans a dazzling array of counterfeits and forgeries, including copyrighted books, music, and expensive fashion apparel. But much more dangerous is the tainted food that China sells us. The China Bee Products Association claims that half of all honey sold in China is fake. Chinese baby milk killed Chinese babies after melamine was added to conceal the milk's low protein count. China tops the list of countries with tainted products. There are some U.S. inspections in China, but they surely are not what we are used to in the United States. Even our pets are in danger. Mysterious canine illnesses and deaths have been linked to jerky treats from China, and two manufacturers pulled leading brands off their shelves. Federal officials said the current outbreak sickened 3,000 dogs and 10 cats, and killed about 600 canines. China's latest venture into deception is collecting empty bottles of genuine alcohol, refilling them with a cheap substitute, such as antifreeze, from who knows where, and then reselling this counterfeit alcohol to popular bars and restaurants in Beijing. The police discovered 37,000 bottles of this fake alcohol ready to be delivered. An expert on Chinese health at the Council on Foreign Relations, Yang Zhang Huang, explained that the big difference between Chinese and U.S. medicine safety is this. U.S. vaccines are kept safe by supporting institutions such as the market economy, democracy, media monitoring, civil society, and the business ethics code, plus inspections and regulations, severe punishment for violators, and lawsuits by trial lawyers. Communist China does not tolerate any of these safety precautions.
This has been the Phyllis Schlafly Report from Eagle Forum. Chances are you or someone you care about is unemployed or underemployed. At eagleforum.org, in a blog conversation with Phyllis Schlafly, we're weighing the causes and solutions of this national crisis. One thing is certain, more government spending is not the answer. Join the blog at egoforum.org. Thanks for listening, and join us next time for the Phyllis Schlafly Report.
I'm Larry Pratt of Gun Owners of America, and I want to invite you to join the Second Amendment movement with Gun Owners of America, the only no-compromise gun lobby in Washington. Take action by becoming a GOA member today by going to gunowners.org. Gun Owners members receive the GOA newsletter, fact sheets, alerts, certificates, and more. But there's more to joining GOA than just a list of member benefits. The united voice of GOA members has been successful in defeating restrictive legislation designed to disarm our population. GOA has helped to get strong constitutional members of Congress like Senator Ted Cruz elected. And with your help, GOA will continue to successfully defend the rights of gun owners in the courts. Participate in our efforts to restore and preserve the nation's right to keep and bear arms. All contributions to our lobbying efforts are used exclusively to support or oppose firearms legislation. Join online at gunowners.org.
How important is the air you breathe? Our air purifiers produce activated oxygen, called Aerin. Activated oxygen is the natural enemy of odors, pollutants, and many other harmful substances, yet it's completely safe. Our powerful air purifiers unleash the power of a thunderstorm, destroying pollutants in the air we breathe. It destroys many viruses, bacteria, and fungi, kills molds, and oxidizes chemical fumes and toxic gases. It removes smoke, pollen, and pet odors. Made with quality stainless steel, our portable air purifiers come with a manufacturer's 4-year warranty. If you haven't experienced the Aerin process of fresh, clean air, then call us today and receive 10% off your order. 877-605-9200. Again, that's 877-605-9200. Time for you to breathe clearly again. 877-605-9200.
World-renowned physician and stem cell expert Dr. David Steenblok, D.O., and his research staff have spent years developing all-natural formulations that support the body's own stem cell production and mobilization system. An everyday stem cell supplement, creating the birth of Stemgevity. Stemgevity stem cell mobilization formula is for use by men, women, and children of all ages to support your body's stem cell system naturally, quickly, and safely. Stemgevity helps support your heart and circulatory system, bones and joints, liver, skin, brain, and much more. Order your bottle now at Stemgevity.com today. That's Stemgevity. Stemgevity.com. Or call now toll-free, 800-300-1063. Buy two bottles and receive a third bottle free by mentioning RBN. Anyone who wants to get healthy needs Stemgevity. Call 800-300-1063 today.
Physically, financially, agriculturally. Real people, real problems, real activism. Welcome to the Bob Tuscan Radio Show with your host, Bob Tuscan.
Have a show for you tonight, ladies and gentlemen. David Cole, who later changed his name to be David Stein, joins us, and I'm excited. I'm not going to waste any time with a corny introduction here. David, how the hell are you?
Well, I'm doing fine, and I'm really, really pleased to be on your show, Bob. I appreciate being here, and I look forward to a very vigorous conversation that hopefully your listeners can get something positive out of, or at the very least, you know, they get angry, they get happy, as long as they feel something, that's cool enough for me.
Sounds good. Well, for those that don't know of David Cole's infamous background, he made a documentary that pushed a few buttons, huh?
Yeah, I got involved starting in 1989, and it's amazing to me, Bob, how old I've gotten and how I've got fans and people who know my work who were barely in kindergarten in 89. But back in 89, I got involved in Holocaust revisionism, probably the only Jewish person to ever go full-blown Holocaust revisionist. There have been Jewish researchers and scholars who have revised this little aspect or that little aspect of Holocaust history. But I was probably the only full-blown Holocaust revisionist who was a Jew, and I did a bunch of talk shows in the early 90s, made a couple of documentaries, and that's pretty much what I was known for from 1989 until 1995.
The first question, what did your parents think of all this?
Well, I was raised very, very secular. I was raised,
as most of us are, from Jewish families.
Yeah, definitely. I was raised by New York secular Jews who always told me to pursue whatever path I wanted. I was never constrained with any, this is bad for the Jews or this is bad for Judaism. I was just sort of let loose intellectually to pursue what I felt I wanted to pursue. And my parents, when I started to achieve a certain level of national prominence, probably the peak of that, I would say, would be when I was on 60 Minutes, which was the number one rated show on network TV at the time in the early 90s. My parents just had to admit to themselves, well, damn, we brought this about. You know, it's like we raised him this way to follow intellectual pursuits and to not be constrained by thoughts of, is this good for one religious group or one racial group or whatever. They were okay with it because they realized their role in creating me. Whether I'm a monster or a hero or something in between, I am the product of my upbringing to a very great extent. So my parents had to learn to live with it. It was difficult because they were attacked by other members of my family, of our family, who thought that I was worse than Hitler. And I always thought that was very funny that people would actually say worse than Hitler. They still say that. And in fact, a very quick aside, and not to derail from your question, but one of my favorite moments from my revisionist days, the Detroit Jewish News back in 93, the Detroit Jewish News was the largest circulation Jewish weekly in America. And the Detroit Jewish News did a front page story about me that was very negative. It was not a good story at all. It certainly wasn't one that I would have shown to a young lady I was trying to date. Hey, look at this. Look what a great guy I am. It was a bad piece, but it was on the front page of the Detroit Jewish News. And the readership, about like 600,000 subscribers of the Detroit Jewish News, they complained that I was on the cover. So the editor of the paper the next week had to write an editorial explaining why I was on the cover. Why was David Cole on the cover? And he said, and this is a direct quote, and you can actually look it up online because the Detroit Jewish News archives are online. He said, the world needs to know about Hitler, Hussein, Arafat, and Cole. Now, I'm 23 years old, Bob, and I'm living in a little one-bedroom apartment in Culver City, California, and I'm being compared to Hitler, Hussein, and Arafat. The ridiculousness of that is off the charts. I mean, you can't really measure the level of silliness there that a 23-year-old guy who has done nothing but said, I have some questions about Holocaust history, is being compared with Hitler and Saddam Hussein and Yasser Arafat. But that was the kind of off-the-chart silliness that I dealt with all the time back then.
I can see that, and it's just as ridiculous to bring up an issue, to make it illegal to bring up contrary perspectives on the Holocaust or to research contrary perspectives on the Holocaust.
It's a very good point, Bob, is that it's illegal in many countries to say what happened.
I think that's a great introduction to this topic for people, and I know it was for myself. When I saw what Ernst Sundahl and others were going through, I said to myself, well, you know what? I might not fully have wrapped my head around this, but I studied philosophy. That's what I graduated with, a degree in philosophy. And I know, forget philosophy, forget my degree. My parents, secular Jews, taught me sticks and stones can break your bones, but words can never hurt you. I mean, that's the bottom line.
Yeah.
So that's right there, if anything, should intrigue you to say, what the hell is going on here?
Everything should be open to examination. It doesn't matter whether it's a matter of religious history, whether one wants to investigate Jesus Christ or Muhammad or whomever. We are all citizens of the earth. I hate to use that term. It makes me seem a little bit mushy-headed hippie. But we're all citizens of the earth, and we all have a right to the history of the human race. From the earliest days to the present, and when the governments of the world, as the governments of Western Europe, a couple of Eastern European governments, and Canada have done, which is to say, oh, you can investigate everything except Holocaust history, that will land you in jail. When they say that, all that does is make people more curious. Why? My gosh, why? I can go to Canada, or I could go to Germany, and I could say, no Armenians were killed by the Turks. It's a complete lie. And those darned Armenians are just liars who are trying to defame the brave, noble Turks. And I can say that. Now, of course, that's not true, but I can say it, and I won't be thrown in prison. But But if I were to go to Germany or France or Canada and say the things that I have been saying, I could be thrown in prison. Now, I never was in the days when I used to lecture abroad, and I toured Canada with David Irving. Irving got kicked out of the country, and I didn't. I think I posed a very difficult case for the Canadian authorities because I'm a Holocaust revisionist, but I'm also a Jew, and I don't think they wanted the photo op of them putting me in cuffs and sending me across the border. They did that to David Irving. They put him in cuffs, and they sent him into upstate New York from Ontario.
Amazing. David Cole is our guest. We got to take a quick break, Dan, and we'll be right back.
The Bob Justin Show.
Are you facing foreclosure? Worried about late payments? Fight back and stay in your...
The IRS is a private corporation, not a government agency. Income tax is collected by voluntary compliance. To learn to unvolunteer or discontinue volunteering into the IRS, visit escapeharassment.com and immediately implement Strategy 1. The process must be repeated each and every time. Paper, letter, envelope, presentment, etc. Always and forever. Failure equates to acceptance, subsequent resultant contract, and you pay or go to jail by your own consent and agreement contract. Avoid recontracting. Visit escapeharassment.com and implement Strategy 1 immediately. Bar lawyers and accountants won't help you. Why wait? Get Strategy 1 and immediately implement it to divorce the IRS today and forever. That's escapeharassment.com, Strategy 1, to be free from the IRS. Escapeharassment.com.
This is Dr. Robert Rowan here to give you an important message regarding stem cell treatment. World-renowned physician, stem cell expert, and friend Dr. David Steinblatt has performed over 8,000 stem cell treatments since 2001. Bone marrow stem cells are completely legal to do here in the USA. The bone marrow stem cell treatment is not only fast, done in less than 2 to 3 hours, but is relatively pain-free and has little to no recovery time. Dr. David Steinblatt and his office are able to help and treat patients who suffer from cerebral palsy, traumatic brain injury, stroke, macular degeneration, arthritis, Parkinson's disease, congestive heart failure, and more. Personally using their services for my knee and seeing great improvement, Dr. David Steinblatt is highly recommended by me. Go to stemcellmd.org or call 800-300-1063 to find out more. Again, stemcellmd.org or call 800-300-1063 today to receive more information.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
I'm gonna put on an iron shirt and chase Satan out of earth. I'm gonna put on an iron shirt and chase the devil out of earth. I'm gonna send him to outer space to find another race. I'm gonna send him to outer space to find another race.
I definitely want to get to David Cole today and talk about David Stein, which David Cole went by. But let's continue to build the stage, or set the stage rather, here, and focus a little bit on your Holocaust revisionism days. And I mean, you're back at it, but let's continue to talk about some of the trials and tribulations you went through.
And the thing that I think that your listeners should know is that when I got into this field in 89, it was a very specific, unique moment in Holocaust history. There had been, and I talk about this very much in detail in my book called Republican Party Animal. I'm not trying to do a cheap plug there, but I do have a book that is coming out next month. And one of the things I go into in great detail is that in all throughout the 80s, the Canadian government had put on trial criminally a fellow named Ernst Zundel. Ernst Zundel was put on trial twice for being a Holocaust revisionist. The term denier had not yet been invented, so everyone said revisionist. It wasn't until the early 90s that people started to use the term denier. And the Canadians, and this is, to me, for anyone who is interested in matters of freedom and liberty, freedom of expression, freedom of inquiry, this is a fascinating case. The Zundel trials, the two of them in the early, in the mid-1980s, these are fascinating cases because the Canadians, you know, there's that line, I don't want to be insulting to any of your listeners, but there's a line from that, a very funny movie called Tropic Thunder, where they, with Ben Stiller and Robert Downey Jr., where they use there's a line that you never go full retard. And again, forgive me if that's insulting, but it's not a line I wrote. It's a line from Tropic Thunder. And the Canadians, were not willing to go full fascist. They were only willing to go half fascist. They put Ernst Zundel on trial, and yet, they allowed him to mount a completely free and vigorous defense. In other words, he could call witnesses, he could call Holocaust survivors, he could call Holocaust historians, he could depose them. He was not constricted in any way in his defense. Now, that was self-defeating from the Canadian government's point of view, because they're trying to punish this man for being a Holocaust revisionist, and yet they're allowing him to mount an O.J. Simpson-style defense. It was helpful for the field of history, but it was very self-defeating from the Canadian government's point of view. In the late 80s, when I became interested in the field, that Zundel trial and all of those depositions and cross-examinations of people like Raoul Hilberg, considered the greatest Holocaust historian of his time, Rudolf Verba, an Auschwitz survivor, Arnold Friedman, the material that came out of the Zundel trial was amazing to me, because under oath, these fellows backtracked on almost everything that they claimed about the Holocaust, and I wanted to learn why. I wanted to learn, well, my gosh, why do these guys write something in their books, and then when they actually have to be sworn under oath, they say, oh, I don't really know if what I wrote is true.
And that continues with a lot of mainstream writers on the Holocaust to this day. There's been some high-profile cases. I don't know if it was Eli Wiesel or... and I call him Wiesel, I meant to say Wiesel, sorry.
But this, well, you know, a lot of people would say that Wiesel is a better way to describe him. And he's a very shifty witness. But after the Zundel trials in the 80s, the governments, the oppressive nature of the governments in Western Europe and Canada, they decided they're never going to do that again, where they're going to allow revisionists to mount a defense. So, for example, if you are accused of being a quote-unquote denier in Germany, you can't plead that you're right. In other words, you can't mount a defense where the defense is, I'm saying the truth. All you can do is either plead guilty or plead insanity. But you can't say, no, I'm speaking the truth. They don't allow that. These governments learned from the Canadian example during the Zendel trial that you can't let people like me actually mount a vigorous defense. So that those examples from the Zendel trial probably will never happen again. But for me, in 1989, I found them fascinating, and I wanted to meet these people on both sides, the Zendel side, the Raoul Hilberg side, and I wanted to find out why would Raoul Hilberg write in his defining tome, The Destruction of the European Jews, why would he write about extermination orders that he said on the stand he had no idea were real? Why would Rudolf Virba, who did escape Auschwitz, nobody denies that, but why would he write about gas chambers and then on the stand say, oh, I never really saw them. I heard about it from a guy who heard about it from a guy who heard about it from a guy. And that's what was interesting to me, because I felt as a young Jewish man that I could, since I did not have a racist ulterior motive, I wasn't trying to harm anyone. I wasn't trying to make a political point or a racial point, religious or ethnic point or anything. I wanted to come in as a very objective observer and weigh the evidence. And if the evidence did, in fact, weigh on the revisionist side, I thought better for a guy like me to be talking about it than somebody who might have an ulterior motive.
Yeah, I mean, that's my approach to this as well. And I think it would be appropriate for us to define your position, because I think that's probably one of the more misunderstood, at least, you know, purposefully misunderstood in some cases. But it's really important that people understand that, you know, it's like so many other taboo topics. Those who have questions about 9/11, for instance, they're not denying 9/11 ever happened. And it's the same sort of thing, and when, especially when you put a label like Holocaust denier.
Sure.
People say, well, what do you think? The Holocaust never happened, and so on and so forth.
I used to, when I would try to explain my position, I would use the old parable about the blind men describing the elephant. And I'm not sure if all of your listeners know that, but basically that parable is you've got six blind men who are trying to describe an elephant based solely on the part that they are feeling, that they're touching, because that's all they know, they can't see. So the blind man who is feeling the tusk says, an elephant is hard and pointy. And the blind man who is feeling the tail says, no, an elephant is wiggly and thin. And the blind man who is feeling the leg says, no, an elephant is stout and thick. The Holocaust is many things that it is and a lot of things that it isn't. And that's been my...
All right, we'll continue this in just a second. Hold on one second. Here we go.
The Bob Tuscan Show.
The IRS is a private corporation, not a government agency.
I'm Larry Pratt of Gun Owners of America, and I want to invite you to join the Second Amendment movement with Gun Owners of America, the only no-compromise gun lobby in Washington. Take action by becoming a GOA member today by going to gunowners.org. Gun Owners members receive the GOA newsletter, fact sheets, alerts, certificates, and more. But there's more to joining GOA than just a list of member benefits. The united voice of GOA members has been successful in defeating restrictive legislation designed to disarm our population. GOA has helped get strong constitutional members of Congress like Senator Ted Cruz elected. And with your help, GOA will continue to successfully defend the rights of gun owners in the courts. Participate in our efforts to restore and preserve the nation's right to keep and bear arms. All contributions to our lobbying efforts are used exclusively to support or oppose firearms legislation. Join online at gunowners.org.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
The IRS is a private corporation, not a government agency. Income tax is collected by voluntary compliance. To learn to unvolunteer or discontinue volunteering into the IRS, visit escapeharassment.com and immediately implement Strategy 1. The process must be repeated each and every time. Paper, letter, envelope, presentment, etc. Always and forever. Failure equates to acceptance, subsequent resultant contract, and you pay or go to jail by your own consent and agreement contract. Avoid recontracting. Visit escapeharassment.com and implement Strategy 1 immediately. Bar lawyers and accountants won't help you. Why wait? Get Strategy 1 and immediately implement it to divorce the IRS today and forever. That's escapeharassment.com, Strategy 1, to be free from the IRS. escapeharassment.com.
This is Dr. Robert Rowan here to give you an important message regarding stem cell treatment. World-renowned physician, stem cell expert, and friend Dr. David Steinblatt has performed over 8,000 stem cell treatments since 2001. Bone marrow stem cells are completely legal to do here in the USA. The bone marrow stem cell treatment is not only fast, done in less than 2 to 3 hours, but is relatively pain-free and has little to no recovery time. Dr. David Steinblatt and his office are able to help and treat patients who suffer from cerebral palsy, traumatic brain injury, stroke, macular degeneration, arthritis, Parkinson's disease, congestive heart failure, and more. Personally using their services for my knee and seeing great improvement, Dr. David Steinblatt is highly recommended by me. Go to stemcellmd.org or call 800-300-1063 to find out more. Again, stemcellmd.org or call 800-300-1063 today to receive more information.
There are many water filters to choose from, but there is only one system that is consistently customer rated 5 stars as the number one system for effective filtration of fluoride, radiation, drug residues, heavy metals, a wide range of radioisotopes, and more. Introducing the PureFect Ultra, the next generation water filter that also raises alkaline pH, improves antioxidant potential, and has advanced anti-radiation technology. All while using no electricity. Sold worldwide, it provides virtually instant clean water on demand. It is not made in China, and the shipping is free to all 50 states. Buy your PureFect Ultra today by visiting PureFectFilters.com or call 888-891-4821. Again, that's 888-891-4821 or visit PureFectFilters.com.
Each took complete control of the theater, the movies, the radio, every cultural activity and every channel of information.
Well, times is tough, all right. Yeah, I'll say.
It's the future.
Well, if you're just joining us, we have a special treat tonight. We're joined by David Cole, who was the world-famous Holocaust revisionist, denier, Jew, I had to throw that in there, from the early 1990s. I was going back when I got in touch with you and watching some of your old appearances on, you know, the Montel show and Phil Donahue and all these shows, and it really took me back to a time where...
May I tell your listeners a quick story about the Montel Williams show? Because this is something that I think puts my entire career in those days in perspective. When the Montel Williams show asked me to be on the air, and they were shooting in at CBS Studios in L.A., I only demanded one thing, not red M&Ms in the dressing room or the stuff that rock groups do.
No Manischewitz in the dressing room.
Yeah, no Manischewitz. What I asked was that we would have a random audience. In other words, the audience would not know what the subject matter of the show would be when they lined up at CBS to see it.
It's funny you say that, because there would be people clapping at times that I would think they wouldn't clap, and I would see Montel's reaction. He was surprised, and you would make a sound point, a coherent point, and they would clap.
Yeah, and that was because that was the one thing that I insisted that CBS put in writing, that it would be a random audience, people lining up to come to CBS, and they wouldn't know what they were going to see. They could be seeing a show about Hollywood casting couch, or a show about lesbians fighting over custody, anything. And that was what was important to me, because I didn't want a pre-selected audience that would have an automatic bias. Now, the woman, Marilyn Caskell, the woman who was the producer of the Montel Williams show at that time, had been the woman who had previously produced the Geraldo Rivera show, where he had gotten into a bloody fist fight with racist skinheads. And this is one of the reasons I made this random audience request. I said, Miss Caskell, your previous claim to fame is having skinheads and Geraldo beating the crud out of each other. I don't want that. I don't like beating anyone, and I don't want to get beaten. So I would like to have just a very normal show with a random audience. And she agreed to that. But she agreed to it because she thought that I would be such a monster on the air that even a random audience would learn to hate me. She thought the cameras would roll and I would say, I hate the Jews. I hate myself for being a Jew. I must kill my own people. And she thought that I would be such a vermin that she didn't mind having a random audience, because she honestly believed in her own misinterpretation of what revisionism is all about. She honestly believed that I would be such a terrible human being that even a random audience would turn against me. And she was wrong, because that's not who I am. I talk facts, I talk statistics, and I can back up everything I say. And the Montel show went really well. As you said earlier, people clapped.
And I was watching this, and I was thinking to myself, you know, maybe I'm biased here, because I've looked into this information and whatnot, and I see a lot of truths here. But you came off, and I forget the other gentleman's name who you were on with.
Mark Weber. Mark Weber.
Well, yeah, Weber, right. Both of you came off, for that matter, as really fair-minded.
It was so much... to that extent that when the show was over, Marilyn Caskell, the producer, came up to me and Mark Weber, hissing like a cobra, and said, "You bastards think you won, don't you? I don't see this as a game, winning or losing. I just go on a show and I talk about what I believe and what I think I can support." And then afterwards, I held court in the CBS parking lot for about 40 minutes with the audience members who wanted to learn more about what I was saying. And as a point of interest, Bob, that episode of the Montel Williams show, and any of your listeners can check this out on their own, the episode with me on the Montel Williams show is the only one that is not available in a video or a transcript from CBS News. That's the only one that they will not release.
Well, thank goodness for YouTube.
Yeah, exactly, because people taped it on VHS in 1992. People taped it when it was on the air, and those VHS tapes are all over YouTube. But you cannot get that show from CBS News. CBS News has never released it, and they never rebroadcast it. It was broadcast one time in 92, I think February of 92, or March of 92. And that was it. It was never shown again after that.
Wow. That's really telling. To take a step back, let's show why it was so redacted and so revealing, because we were just about to get into your position. And
yeah.
Don't think that the Nazis were actually Jewish people that killed aliens, 6 million aliens, or anything crazy like that. Let's define your position.
Yeah, my position is, and I basically everything I do is simply where the facts lead me. The Nazi government, they were, it was a terrible dictatorship. They persecuted their own people. They persecuted people based on race. They persecuted people based on ethnicity. Nothing I say or have ever said is supportive of the dictatorial Nazi government. Now, Jews were killed, but there were times and places when it happened. When it happened, we have evidence for it. When the Nazi government invaded Russia, there was an order, specific order, to kill Jewish males of a certain age. And that happened. We've got a preponderance of evidence about murders by gun during the summer of 1941, right after the invasion of Russia by the Nazi government. That did happen. Anyone who says that no Jews were ever killed by the Nazis is they're simply wrong. It did happen, however. Now we get into the bigger picture of what happened from 1942 until 1945. Was there a network of camps set up with gas chamber, crematorium, assembly line, technical miracles to kill a million people at a time? That's where it gets dicey. Auschwitz, to take one example, Auschwitz was a labor camp. There were people who were killed at Auschwitz, but they were killed not because of any state policy on the Nazi government's part. Rudolf Hirsch, the commandant of Auschwitz, was just a bad fella. I mean, number one, you've got to be a bad guy, probably, to be in charge of a civilian internment camp, because that's just a nasty thing to begin with, no matter who the civilians are. But among internment camp commandants, Rudolf Hirsch was a bad guy, even worse, to the extent that the SS and Himmler removed him from command and investigated him for his misdealings. There were probably murders committed at Auschwitz because of Hirsch and his desire to loot and pillage the inmates. But we're not talking about a million people. We're not talking about 900,000 people. We're not talking about 100,000 people. We're talking about maybe a couple hundred people. And that's bad enough. I mean, that's terrible. Nobody should be killed because they're sent to a camp because of their faith or their ethnicity or their race. But it's different than saying there was an entire policy.
That's an important distinction to make, and we'll continue to talk with David Cole on the other side.
The Bob Justin Show.
The IRS is a private corporation, not a government agency.
Are you facing foreclosure? Worried about late payments? Fight back and stay in your home. Zero Debt Guaranteed can help. We'll send you a free ebook just for calling 800-477-9256. Or go to ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. Get the details on how to remove your risk to your debt. And so important to many homeowners today, how to stop foreclosure.
Forget loan modification.
The Zero Debt in 90 Days system can show you how to get the bank to pay your property taxes and insurance while stopping your foreclosure.
With without paying one dime.
You can take control. Stop foreclosure. Protect your cash, assets, wages, property, and sleep peacefully at night.
We've been helping people for over 18 years.
Call Zero Debt Guaranteed, 800-477-9256. Ask for free information, no obligation. That's 800-477-9256. Or visit ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com now.
If you're worried about your health and you're tired of the nasty side effects of harsh drugs or antibiotics, then look no further. Supernatural Silver is the answer. Supernatural Silver is a powerful immune system enhancer that can be used every day to help keep you healthy and well with none of those nasty side effects. It's extremely safe for use internally as well as topically. And Supernatural Silver is hundreds of times more effective than colloidal or ionic silver. It is perfect for use in the sinuses, eyes, ears, and on any wound or skin issue. Supernatural Silver is also extremely effective when taken orally and can help fight off bacteria, viruses, and mold that may be overwhelming your immune system. Go to SupernaturalSilver.com. SupernaturalSilver.com. And use the promo code Silver2014 for 20% off of your entire order. And give yourself and your loved ones a fighting chance with Supernatural Silver.
Whew, nice shooting. Hey, that's a sweet AK-47 chest rig. Is that multicam?
Yep, got it from StrikeHardGear.com.
Strike what?
StrikeHardGear.com.
Set your sights on StrikeHardGear.com. Tough, tactical gear for your Soviet-style weapon that's made in the USA. Affordable, plus a no-questions-asked 30-day money-back guarantee and lifetime replacement warranty. StrikeHardGear.com. Go ahead, pull the trigger.
World-renowned physician and stem cell expert Dr. David Steenblok, D.O., and his research staff have spent years developing all-natural formulations that support the body's own stem cell production and mobilization system. An everyday stem cell supplement, creating the birth of Stemgevity. Stemgevity stem cell mobilization formula is for use by men, women, and children of all ages to support your body's stem cell system naturally, quickly, and safely. Stemgevity helps support your heart and circulatory system, bones and joints, liver, skin, brain, and much more. Order your bottle now at Stemgevity.com today. That's Stemgevity. Stemgevity.com. Or call now toll free, 800-300-1063. Buy two bottles and receive a third bottle free by mentioning RBN. Anyone who wants to get healthy needs Stemgevity. Call 800-300-1063 today.
A suppressed medical breakthrough guarantees anyone total health power with a simple device. That sounds impossible, doesn't it? In fact, it sounds like snake oil. How is it that something so simple could make such a profound change and isn't headline-making news? What if I told you it was? What if I told you in March of 1991 the news was groundbreaking? If you're like most people, you're wondering if this is true. We'll show you why your doctor hasn't told you about this. Go to drbeckprotocol.com or call 928-853-2821.
I try to shake them to wake them, but they say they'd rather be sleeping. So don't be surprised if my eyes can't disguise that inside me my spirit is weeping.
All right, continuing with David Cole. And David, where were we?
I think we were talking about trying to delineate where I stand on Holocaust historiography. And if I could, trying to make it a little easier, quicker for your listeners, I don't claim that no Jews were killed, because that would be ridiculous. The Nazis definitely did have a period in which Jews were killed for being Jews. However, the Auschwitz gas chamber assembly line, gas chamber crematorium theory, the thing that became a defining nature, defining concept of the Holocaust, simply can't be supported by the facts. There was definite brutality, and there was certainly more examples than I could state of Jewish people, including children, who were sent to internment camps for no other reason than what their faith, what their ethnicity was. But it became something after the war that it wasn't, primarily because you had this horrific war, World War II. I mean, there's no word to even describe what World War II was. Horrific doesn't even begin to determine it. The amount of lost lives, the amount of loss in terms of humanity, cities burned to the ground, it was a crime. World War II itself was a war crime. And when it was all over, when it was all done, and you had 60, 70 million human beings dead at minimum, that's the low count, the one thing that the victorious Allied powers didn't want anyone to think about was, wait a minute, this all happened because of a desire to keep Poland independent, because that's why the war started. The war started on paper, technically, because of the German invasion of Poland. The war started in 39 because of a desire to keep Poland independent. Now, here the war's over, and you know, amazing how humans can just top themselves in being violent and cruel. Because we topped World War One. World War One was just as horrific as could be, and damn it, we topped ourselves. As a species, we absolutely killed more people. And at the end of World War Two, the last thing that any of the victorious powers wanted was for people to say, "Wait a minute, if the whole point of this exercise in mass murder was to keep Poland independent, but now the U.S. and the British, even reluctantly, are handing Poland over to the Soviet Union to be a satellite state, then doesn't that just kill the whole point of the war?" So yeah. The Soviets and the Western Allies had to come up with a reason for the war. But World War II ends up being a war with an ex post facto reason for being, because no one claims that the Holocaust, even the people who buy every gas chamber, every crematorium notion, no one claims it happened until the end of 41 and the beginning of 42. But yet the war began in 39. So if you were to talk to the average Kardashian viewing young person today, why was World War II needed? And they would say, well, because of the Holocaust, man. Hitler was holocausting the Jews. And they don't get the timeline. The timeline was the war started in 39, escalated in 40, became a world war in 41, and then supposedly the Holocaust began at the end of 41, beginning of 42. World War II is very unique in that it has this ex post facto reason for being. If you think about it for even 5 objective minutes, you will have serious questions about it.
Fascinating. So I guess the question comes up, and we won't belabor the details too much longer here, but why is this agenda continuing to be put forth? Why are these lies continuing to be presented? Is it because if they were to go back and change things, they would have to admit that there's been so much disinformation out there? And if so, what was this disinformation created on purpose? I mean, what is the agenda here?
Well, I firmly believe that the disinformation was created initially by the Soviet and the Western allies, but it was adopted very quickly by special interest groups, specifically Jewish individuals and organizations. Now, I want to be careful when I say that because I'm not necessarily blaming individual Jews for having adopted this. We're talking about a time going back to 1945. We're talking about a time where it was generally accepted that you believed what your government told you. You know, there was no internet, and there was not the culture that we have now. So I don't want to say that it was necessarily conspiratorial on the part of Jewish groups. However, it became a pseudo-religion, especially among secular Jews. I'll tell you this, Bob. In my personal life, because I was raised as a secular Jew, by left-leaning secular...
By the way, you had your bar mitzvah still, though, right? Because of the
bar... I was never bar mitzvahed, Bob.
Really?
Never. Nope.
Secular Jews where I come from, and I'm from South Florida, and I have New York Jewish parents, you know, we have a very similar upbringing, perhaps. Even the secular ones have the bar mitzvah for the party. I mean, geez.
The reason I didn't have it was I can be such an a-hole sometimes that I told my parents, I don't want to learn another language.
They do is they make you learn Hebrew to read Hebrew.
Yeah,
the Hebrew letters. But you have You have no clue what the hell they're talking about.
Yeah.
You're just reading some foreign language and learning how to read it, but you don't know what they're saying. It's the most ridiculous thing ever. But again, it's a good party.
But my parents were so loving and so giving that, and also because I come from a fairly small family. I think if I'd come from a bigger family where my parents would have said, yeah, but Uncle Chaim and Aunt Mimsy will bring you checks, $300, $400, $500, maybe I would have. But I have a very small family. My parents gave me everything I ever wanted. So I didn't have that goal of, oh, you're going to get all these checks. You're going to get bar mitzvah, and you're going to make $2,000, you know, which for
and they keep all the money, by the way. No Jewish kid gets to keep that money. That all goes towards the party.
Look, I told my folks that I didn't want to go to Hebrew class. I didn't want to learn another language. I didn't want to give up my Sundays. I didn't want to give up the time. And they were fine with that. So I derailed us.
You were about to make a compelling point.
I think the point I was making is that personally, in my personal life, I get along really well with secular, including atheist Jews. But these are the people that have come out against me the hardest, both in the early 90s and now that I've been outed in the past year. These are the people that attack the hell out of me.
This is a perfect way to end this hour, David, because next hour we're going to transition here to the JDL, putting a hit on you. It was the JDL, right?
It was, yes, indeed.
The JDL, this terrorist group, and we'll transition to you getting away from your work on the Holocaust. And take a look at David Stein. Every time I say that, I'm like, oi, this reeks of Jew. All right, hold on. This is a compelling spot to end this hour when we come back more.
With financial.